Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good afternoon, good day, good evening, good week, good month, good year, everybody. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. A pleasure to be with you today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values, as far as I'm concerned, devolve into the dark and weird rabbit hole of bait and switch, which is BS. So I'm inviting you to a life of love, a life lived above BS, a life lived above bait and switch, a life lived above being a fraud on your, you know, your daily routines. But being alive, alive to love, means I'm living my authentic life. You get to see my real face. And by that I mean you get to see me with all the me I know how to muster on any given day, because I'm living, breathing, eating, and sleeping to love. Which leads me to what we do here at the beginning of every No BS Bishop Alive to Love broadcast, and that is I lead you in love's creed. So we'll get to that in a minute, and I want you to just kind of get yourself comfortable, get a pen and paper if you're so inclined. I've got some notes to give you today. Seven foundations for rescuing love from oversimplification. So get ready for that. But before we get to that meat of the broadcast, let's do Love's Creed, something I wrote years ago to keep me on track, to keep me focused, and to be a point of reference so that I know what love looks like for me and how I can keep myself aimed. When I wrote it, I didn't expect it would become a creed that I would pass along to a lot of other people, but I'll tell you what, it has become something of a staple for me and this broadcast and other venues where I'm sharing this message on love. Here it is. Here's Love's Creed. I'll give it to you in total. Then I'll come back and I'll offer it to you in short bursts like I would wedding vows for a bride and groom. All right, here we go in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, let me come back, give it to you in short bursts. I'll have you repeat after me with one phrase at a time. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it. That's Love's Creed. If you'd like a copy of this that you would put on a 3x5 card that you could tape to your mirror where you're shaving or putting on makeup in the morning, or you want to put it in your device, your phone, your iPad. Mine is in my iPad so I can refer to it often. Or if you just want it to hold in your hand on once in a great a while, that you can give reference to it, to think it through and give it part of your daily routine. You can get that copy from me by emailing me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail.com. I'd be happy to send a copy of it your way. Now, let's get into the meat of today. Oh, you know, I just happened to remember. I better tell you this. This is something of a, I don't know, a little fun fact for me. In October of 2019, the first weekend of October 2019, we began this broadcast. So we're about to turn 4 years old at the No BS Bishop I'm Alive to Love. I'm proud of this project. I feel like it's had the legs required of continuing to pursue what I've been saying here every week, that a life of love is not just a snap of the fingers. A life of love is bigger than a corny song. A life of love is bigger than a poem. A life of love requires the commitment of a marathon, the commitment of being determined to rescue love from oversimplification, which is what we'll talk about today. But it's also, a life lived for love is a determination to go the long haul. And it requires a lot of, a lot of study, if you will. So that's why we've been here for 4 years coming up in October of 2023. So I'll say more about that in the weeks ahead. But let's dive into my material for today, shall we? Seven foundations for rescuing love from oversimplification. It's just about a healthy practice and the progression of love in our life. So here they are in no particular order, just offered as a pathway, as a ladder to climb. Here we go. No one of these is more important than the other. They're pretty equal in their importance. But here are those seven foundations for rescuing love from oversimplification. Number one, learn how to use the power of your words and conversations in the direction of love. Just be determined to finish your comments, you know, complaints even, or your observations on life with an aim at love, and make a decision that you can see everything through the lens of love. That's one foundation to take love out of the oversimplification that it's gotten trapped in through just, I don't know, overuse in some ways and underuse in other ways. So that's number one. Number two, make a commitment. Now, this is huge. Make a commitment to a lifetime discovery of God's love and your love in response. Change your love vocabulary routinely. Change it up. Mix it up a little bit, because it'll discipline your thoughts in the direction of growth and expansion. Our language tends to get pretty stodgy and stale. We say things like blah 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 or yada yada yada, right? We have these little cliches that we use that really betray the fact that our language is lazy. I find it in myself. I listen to my own broadcast to hear me and to see if I can juice up my words, my verbs, my nouns, my adjectives, my adverbs, and bring in a little bit more of a punch to what I'm saying, making sure that in my vocabulary, my love vocabulary, I'm not getting lazy, or just in my vocabulary in general. Just change your love vocabulary occasionally. Make it something you haven't made in the past. Just talked to somebody the other day about how they've been applying my principles of love. And she said one night, just before she and her husband fell asleep, she whispered in the air. She's not necessarily romantic, but just as a point of reference to close the day, she said to her husband, she said, "I accept your love." And she said, he said, "What did you say?" And then it began to carry them into a conversation. Isn't that great? "I accept your love." She said, "I don't know where that came from, except I just felt like I should put it up in the air for both of us to hear." All right. So first of all, use the power of your words and conversations in the direction of love. Number two, make a commitment to a lifetime discovery of God's love, and see to it that your love vocabulary is moving upward. It's at least changing now and then. Number three, This one's important to understand. Expect love. I sometimes run into people who have given up on expecting love. They just don't expect it anymore. They feel like maybe they've been hurt so many times, or that nobody really does care about them. So their love expectation has taken a dive. They let it go. They just dropped it. Like, oh, well, that was then, this is now. But I want to urge you to reignite your expectation of love, that there are still layers of love coming your way somehow, some way. Now, the only thing I would add to this expect love principle here is use expectation management. In other words, if I'm hungry for a great sushi platter, you know, good, good sushi fish, well, I'm not going to stop at a greasy gas station and check in with them and say, hey, have you got any fresh sushi here? That's expectation management. I don't expect to find sushi in an old rundown gas station. But I do expect to find love in a relationship with a friend, a spouse, significant other, children, grandchildren. And it's important to, when we have expectation management, it's important to make sure that we remind ourselves that you are worthy of love. You're worthy of being loved. Every human being is worthy of love. And every human being you meet is worthy of your love. Just keep that in your focus, and it'll change how you manage life. And as we're talking about today, the seven foundations for giving love a chance to be rescued from oversimplification. A healthy practice is here. So first of all, it is using the power of our words in the direction of love. Number two, make a commitment to a lifetime discovery of God's love. Number three, expect love and keep expectation management in front of you. Number four is a little more challenging, and that is create some kind of team around you of a love mentorship. And by that, I mean, have people, maybe organized or not organized, that you look to help you see a wider variety of relationships other than just the ones with whom you're normally comfortable. Now, this is, I really believe that this is one of those great challenges of all of our lives, whether we're living in the 21st century or, I don't know, back in the 50s when I was born. Be a person of a wider variety of relationships than just what you're ordinarily comfortable with. You know, if you don't talk to people of color, well, talk to somebody that's not the same color as you. You know what I'm saying. If you're white, find a friend who's African-American and have a chat every so often. And vice versa, and onward in life. Make sure that the people you're talking to aren't just this little safe little handful of people that you're never challenged. You're never expected to rise and shine to anything different. A team like that in mind, maybe you want to make a list and ask yourself, hey, I need to talk to so-and-so again. I haven't had a chat with them in a while, and they always encourage me towards some kind of vigorous conversation. I love doing that. Now, in this team of mentorship, I would urge you to keep in mind that you're not in a conversation with people to win an argument. A conversation is give and take. We're all too often in this day and time tempted to turn every conversation toward some kind of debate. Ugh, don't let your conversations get dragged into that rabbit hole. I believe that the oversimplification of love has prevented us from keeping our love relationships fresh, that we've oversimplified love by saying, well, I love everybody. Of course I do. Okay. And if you say that to me, I would ask, well, then who is it that you're loving that's different than you? Who is it that you love who challenges you on your perspectives? Who is it that you love that has other ideas than just the ideas you're comfortable with? So that's number four. Number five, accept the possibility that at every level, always love is going to be challenged. You know, love doesn't just have this magic power that says, oh, you can't challenge me anymore. I don't have a force field around me that'll prevent me from being hurt and never need healing. Listen, accept the possibility that at every level, your love will be challenged. It might be rejected. It may go unnoticed, and it very well may be misunderstood. And it's not always going to work in short term. And it may feel like love causes you harm. This is why people are often tempted to say, I'm done with love. But I challenge you, no matter how much your love has been injured, and mine has, like anybody, it's been wounded and injured, reject the notion of uninjured love. Love that is love is going to find itself a target. It's going to be finding itself in tough spots. And as such, our love can be stretched to the limit, and even we can feel like it's been broken. But never, ever give up on the idea that love has too much risk to take again. Take the risk again. Number six, and this relates to a few of the others that I mentioned a few moments ago. Be determined and learn how to express love in the most personally identifying ways as possible in any given situation. Just aim, arrange your thoughts to consider acts of love with direct relationships across a wide spectrum of friendships and relationships. I think a simple way to say this is find a way that everybody around you knows that you're a lover. As a friend, as an acquaintance, as a coworker, especially as a spouse or a significant other, a grandparent, a parent, whatever it is, make sure that you're doing something that leaves people with the definite impression that you love. You are a lover. And that comes because you're determined to express love in a very personally identifying way. So that just will carry you into deeper conversations and work with love all around you. And last but not least, number seven in the seven foundations for rescuing love from oversimplification. Number seven is, again, related to the rest of this. Always remember that love will be a lifetime pursuit and not a once-and-for-all arrival. Love is never so small as to remain finished in any given season or station of our life. Love is not that small. Love is not so anemic as to just arrive and there it's done. No, love will always be in some growth pattern, and it's going to require of us to run this race as a marathon and not a sprint. I'm often here to tell you that God is love and love is God. He who dwells in love dwells in God, and he who dwells in God dwells in love. And we need to know that as God is love, God is always finding love from his heart rejected. The love of God is an eternal action. It's an eternal energy. The energy of God's love has been from eternity past and will go into eternal future. And with that pattern, that run from God's own personality of love, that race that God is running is so much a plow through the fields of roughness around us. So remember, our love is always going to be a lifetime pursuit. It's always going to be not a once-and-for-all arrival. Know this. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never fails. So if I want my life to be fail-proof, then I must find a way to keep it pointed in the direction of love. Keep my love pointed, aimed, directed, you know, like an arrow to the target. I know a little bit about target shooting, very little, but I do know a little bit, and that is when, if I'm going to aim for the bullseye, I've got to steady myself. I've got to still my body. I've got to calm my mind. I've got to take a deep breath and inhale or exhale before I pull the trigger on a target gun or pull an arrow back on a bow and arrow. Or if I'm shooting darts, whatever the case may be, if I'm aiming for a bullseye, it requires your whole body's posture, your whole body involved in being still to aim. I'm a little bit of a golfer, not much. I golf a little. But when you hit that little ball with that big stick, it means that from the top of your head to your belt line to your toes, there needs to be an awareness of how am I about to strike this ball. So that comparison, that illustration says, when we love, be aware of your thoughts. Be aware of your attitude, of your how you carry yourself, how any given day is a day of ease or maybe a day of great challenge. And know that your love is a part of what you're aiming for, and that all that you are and everything that you're doing affects how you aim at love. But when we aim for love, sure, we may not hit the bullseye every time, maybe not even half the time, maybe not even 1 out of 10. But when we aim for love, remember, love never fails. So those are the 7 foundations for rescuing love from oversimplification. Using the power of our words in the direction of love, 1. 2, to make a commitment to a lifetime discovery. 3, to expect love. 4, to create a list of people around you that you want to relate to so that it expands your love relationships. 5, accepting the possibility that your love will be challenged. There's no such thing as uninjured love. 6, to express love in a personally identifying way. 7, remember that love is forever the lifetime pursuit that'll keep you charging forward. If you'd like a copy of this list, you could email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, lowercase letters, at Gmail. I'd be happy to send you a copy of this list if you weren't keeping up with me on the notes that you were trying to take. I am running down on time, so I've got to bring this this love jetliner in for a landing. We're coming into the airport, ladies and gentlemen. And what I do here, I do some things routinely, but not with just a boring routine, but because I believe these are foundational to keeping us living a life for love. And 1, at the conclusion, I always invite you to take good, healthy, deep, cleansing breaths. To know that your breathing, like I said a moment ago, helps your aim. It keeps your body sturdy and steady for an aim. So on the count of 3, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. Put your feet flat on the floor and hold yourself up as straight as you know how. And inhale in some sense of gratitude for life's freedom to breathe. 1, 2, 3. Inhale. And hold it. And exhale. That simple human exercise will help steady your mind, slow your racing thoughts down, lower your blood pressure, and give you the possibility of aiming better at how love can be love in this big, challenging, difficult world. Second thing we do as we close the No BS Bishop Alive to Love radio broadcast is I want to invite you to a startling, almost weird behavior, and that is to look people in the eye and say the 3 most holy, charmed, and beautiful words in the human language. And those words are, I love you. Make it your purpose, make it your goal, make it your desire to find somebody, some ways. You know, I've often said if I could find a stranger and I had the courage, I'd just walk up to him, smile and say, hi, I love you, and just amble on through my day. It would be a startling exercise for both of us. I also have said, you know, I pray, I hope, I can't guarantee it, but it is sure my goal that the last 3 words of my life will be to somebody, I love you. Now, find somebody as soon as you can, if you can't right now, And if nothing else, say it back to me as I'm saying it to you now on the radio. The three most beautiful, magical, charmed, and holy words in all human language, with some eye contact and slow it down to the cadence of I love you. Hear me say that now to you. I love you. Embrace that. See if it doesn't spark a little light inside of your heart. I know it sparks something inside of me just in the giving. And it's a delight to be able to do this here on the No BS Bishop. Coming up on the anniversary of 4 years of doing this. What a pleasure, what a joy, and what a challenge it's been. And I'm very proud of this project. Well, thank you for joining with us today on the Alive to Love No BS Bishop. I'm Randy Dean, and I am here to be sure you know somebody is challenging you to be loved, to be love, and to rise and shine doing something beautiful, because ugly has had its day. Ugly has been done to death. Time for all of us to be the people of love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.